guys want me. All right, let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Are you all there? It's a short verse. And in verse 15, 27 verse 15, are you all there? The Bible said, on verse 15, it says, "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd anyone prisoner whom they wanted." That's sure. And today is what? Anybody? Palm Sunday. It's a Palm Sunday. And there's a story about this little boy who was sick on Palm Sunday and he stayed home from the church with his mother. His father returned from church holding a palm branch. The little boy was curious and asked, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad?" "You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone made palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today." The little boy replied, "Oh, shoot. The one Sunday I missed in the Sunday that Jesus showed up." So he was not in the church. Right? Amen? So this morning, as many of you know, today is a Palm Sunday, the day taken from the gospel where the whole city threw a parade for Jesus. As Jesus rode into the city, the people threw palm branches in anticipation of his coming. Thus, we get our word Palm Sunday. This day marked a time of celebration where Jesus was the worship and the praise. It was this time, this Palm Sunday, that Jesus worshiped him. And this is also the day touching us, for us, because even as we read the celebration, we know that Friday is coming, the cross is coming, we know that many in this same crowd will within a few short days exchange words of praise of words or a words of death, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and then later shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with that kind of crowd because we read this every year. The last Sunday before Lent. So this morning, I just want to focus on our attention on two scriptures, both which focus upon Jesus, but with two different results. And if you have your Bible with me this morning, turn with me to two passages, one from the Gospel of Matthew and the other from the Gospel of Luke. Okay, two places. Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, and then Luke chapter 19, verse 36. Okay, or maybe turn to the person next to you. It says, "Why don't you look 19:36?" And I will look on Matthew chapter 27. That might be faster. But then if you're by yourself, you have to put the two verses, two places in there. Are you all there? And then if you don't really care about looking in your Bible, look at that. Are you all there? Okay, the first one, we read that one. It's in Matthew chapter 27, verse 15. It says, "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release anyone prisoner whom they wanted." Then in Luke chapter 19, "And as they rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road." They spread their cloaks on the road. So Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And as we read this verse this morning that's set before us, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will touch each one of us, Lord. What are the things that we can learn? Because your word is it's a word that will give us that we'll learn, that we can learn, and that we can be perfect, totally perfect in doing good works, Father God. So this morning we bring our heart to you, we submit ourselves to you, Father, that you will reveal to us, Lord, what we can learn from this verse this morning. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. You know, I heard this letter or clippings that the late great evangelist Barrett Billy Graham has been quoted many times as saying that the greatest mission field in our country today in America is in our local church. That's so profound statement. This is Billy Graham is saying, the greatest mission field in our country today is in our local church. The people sitting already in our churches. Now, I'm not sure whether this is really true, this statement, but one thing that I don't know is that many people know what to say, how to say it, even how to act in it. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to church that they can make face, they can quote the scripture. But then, when the robber meets the road, there is no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No salvation, just empty words. We are familiar to that, but after giving a message, we call for salvation, and then they will say, you know, just repeat it after me. And then after that person pray that prayer, they will say, you're saved, go your own way, whatever you do. And there's a lot of that in American churches. And that's why I believe really ground that the mission that we have, the greatest mission that you and I is facing, is the churches, people in the churches. I bet you right now, there's thousands and thousands of people in a big church. They're singing, but you know what? There is no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many know that it's about relationship? Our salvation is about relationship with our Savior. Amen? And we see perfect example in our two passages this morning. On Sunday, Jesus rode in the city where the people shouting, praising and praising God for all the wonderful miracle that Jesus Christ performed right behind their eyes. But on Friday, they are shouting, give us Barabbas. We want him. Crucify Jesus Christ. Why the change? Just a matter of 5 days, there's a change. So, well, there are many possible reasons, but one simple reason is that their words did not match with their heart. What's in their heart? It doesn't match with what they have in their mouth. Amen? Mm-hmm. They have religion, but they miss the person of Jesus Christ. So how can we have a committed faith? How can we be real and sincere? Consistently in all that we do. Well, this morning I want to offer you some keys to just such as faith. I know this is just three simple keys or reasons that maybe we can open up our heart. Maybe Billy Graham is right. Right? Amen? And I'm excited that maybe there's only few Because these are the real person that have a coming, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you think? Amen? Mm-hmm. So the first key is that committed faith is not self-centered. It is Christ-centered. You know, we live in a selfish society. Amen. That we all centered about ourselves. You know, we pull up every time we see a friend busy, let's have this. Very selfish. This sounds obvious, but we often miss it. In America, we tend to say, God, hey God, here's my calendar. Here's my wallet. Oh, here's my checkbook. You know, here's putting that out of their agenda. He said, Lord, this is my calendar. Put there where you can squeeze yourself in my calendar. And first, because of his miracle, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, depressed him because he was serving them. And the second one is that because they saw in Jesus a way to be politically delivered from the Romans. At that time, they're under the Romans government. And they're looking for a deliverer. Should you think that Jesus Christ is going to be the general that will deliver them? See, their praise was hardened with the attitude of Jesus. What can you do for me? And I you know what? I bet you there's a lot of people in the church today, and that's have that kind of attitude. Jesus, what can you do for me? Right? Amen?
Amen.
And a few days later, at the triumph, this so beaten, disfigured Jesus, a man who is no longer looked like a deliverer or a conqueror. And as the words were said about him, devoting to all the lies and quickly changed their position. For them, it was all about me. It's me. See, there is this a legend in the village of Spain, in a poor town. The villagers learned that the king would pay a visit. In 1,000 years, there is no king that have visited that village. So people are excited and said that we need to throw a big celebration for that king because there's no king visiting that town because it's a poor country, a poor town. So, but it was the big celebration. The villagers all agreed. But it was a poor village, and there were not many resources. So someone got an idea. They said that because everyone in that village, they make their own wine. And it's the best wine, because everybody have their own grape vineyard. So they produce a good kind of wine. So they say that, you know what, why don't we just bring a mug and then we pour it in a container or a skip cup or, you know, this barrel, and then the king will get there, when he comes, will arrive, and he will test the wine that they produce. So a week before the king comes, they start pouring their own, the best wine that they have. They have to climb in the stairs, and this is big barrel. Each one pour their wine. So as the king arrived, the king get a mug or a whatever wine glass, and he taste it, he drink it, and do you know what? It tastes fire. And the king was mad. So he said, why? Why this water? Do you know what? Everybody had the same idea. They will bring the water. They said that nobody will know it, that I brought the water. So they bring the water. They keep their own best wine. So when the king tasted the wine, it's all water because they have all the same kind of mind, the mentality. So the king was greatly dishonored because their heart is not matching up with the way they agree one another. And today is Palm Sunday, 2018. Choose to honor our great King, Jesus Christ, by giving Him the very best that we have, without holding, giving Him all that we have. So the first key to our relationship to this Palm Sunday this morning is that a committed faith is not self-centered, it is a Christ-centered faith. Amen? It is a Christ-centered. It's not about the denomination. It's not about Pastor so-and-so. But it's about Pastor Jesus. Amen? Mm-hmm. Number two key is that, the second key is that committed faith is a relationship driven. And many of those who gather to throw their coats and their palm branches and to the street, and who shouted praise, did so because it was a popular thing to do at that time. And that's the same thing with us. Whatever is popular, whatever is everybody's knowing, let's do it because everybody's knowing. He shouted, praise the Lord. But then he turned around and crucified him. So at that one brief moment, it became a trendy. It's a trend. Perhaps some began doing it with sincere motives, but others soon did it because others were doing it. Later, at the trial, shouting, crucify him was the thing to do. In fact, for a brief moment, it was the trend thing to do to make a man smarter and a criminal their hero when they shouted, we want Barabbas. And I don't know if you noticed, about a year ago in the UC Berkeley, the people are just standing. But then one or two mob, with this start throwing rocks to the school. Everybody pick up rocks. Do you know why? Because everybody are throwing rocks. And there is a big possibility that's exactly what happened. And the Bible says that, you know what? They say that, Hosanna in the highest. This is our, those who comes in the name of the Lord. But then, 5 days later, crucify him. See, in our own lives, our committed faith comes only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One where every day is fresh and new as He personally directs our steps. Amen? Because Jesus Christ, relationship with Jesus Christ, it's always fresh. It's always new. Whatever happened yesterday, that's yesterday. God always brings us one level to another. His desire for us is to bring us not to be stagnated, but to fresh every morning. Amen? Our relationship yesterday, that's yesterday. And sometimes people come, oh, you know what? We have a revival yesterday. But that's it. There's a new one coming this today. It's fresh. That relationship with driven is always fresh. Amen? In order to have a committed faith, we must develop and maintain a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And then the last one. The third key is that committed faith is not swayed or blocked by our personal trials and crises. It's right there. A third key is that is committed faith is not swayed. It's not depending on our situation or our crisis. See, at the parade, it was trendy to offer prayers. Everyone was doing it. But at the trial, to speak out for Jesus was risky, possibly even life-threatening. Right? Amen? And we have a speaker last week, and he came out with this. Faith? Which one you choose? Faith or life? Life or faith? Or death? See? And I bet you, when you are by yourself and you go on the street, you approach the person. Which one do you like? Life or death? I don't know if you're gonna do it. But it takes have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? It takes a relationship. And at the parade, when Jesus Christ came, you know, they said that Hosanna in the highest. But then it changed to crucify him. See? Many of us come to Jesus expecting everything to go good. Maybe some slight bad, but not too much of it. So when the bottom drops out for us, we often ask God why, thinking it is not supposed to happen that way. So if our faith is based on our situation or circumstances, it will never be committed. It will always be casual. In my life, I have gone to many big Christian events, many packed large stadiums where the praises for God rocks the entire arena, where everyone is praising. I don't know if I mentioned to you, I went to like what is that group? It's a group of men. Oh, a Promise Keeper. Promise Keeper. Every year I attend a Promise Keeper. Here in LA, it's packed in LA Coliseum. You know where they play football, the Raiders or the Rams. That's full of men and men for 2 days celebration. Every day, people are worshiping, and it looks like the whole stadium is gonna break down. You're all fired up. And then you go home, go to your own church, and then you know what? Go back to your home. Go back to our own old tradition and old what we are doing. You know? It's because our faith is based on our circumstances, our trials. And if we base that, we always come short. See, if our faith is based on our situation or circumstances, it will never be committed. It will always be casual. So, because when returning home from that big conference, everyone is still glowing from the worship. It's just, guys, you know what? We're here in the stadium. Then when we go back there, you have to maintain a close relationship with your brother that will encourage you to keep on worshiping God. Amen. Because chances are, when you go back to the valley, you go back to your own ways. As the same thing, when I brought those five men, you know what? We tell story about our experience, how God touched them, and some of them were crying. But I said, you know what? Keep your eyes, because when we go back to our own church, when we go back to the valley, you know what? There's so much temptation, and all the worship that we have, all the breakthrough in our life, is gonna be gone. Amen. When tomorrow comes, bracing. Hard, it's hard task, but you know the world that is not all praising. In fact, the world is mocking you, laughing at you, and often they're angry. So a committed faith takes the good with the bad, knowing that all we are ever promised is that the midst of both of our good and bad, Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. He will stand with us. Amen? He will stand with us. So in closing, I'll tell the story about this little girl who, while walking in a garden, noticed a particularly beautiful flower. She admired its beauty and enjoyed its fragrance. "It's so pretty," she exclaimed. And as she gazed on it, her eyes followed the stem down to the soil in which it grew. "This flower is too pretty to be planted in such an earth," she cried. So she pulled it up by its roots and ran to the water, to the faucet, to wash away the soil. And it was not long until the flower wilted and died. See, when the gardener saw what the little girl had done, he exclaimed, "You have destroyed my finest plant. I'm sorry, but I didn't like it in that dirt," she said. The gardener replied, "I choose that spot and mix the soil because I know that the only there could it grow to be a beautiful flower." God has placed us exactly where we are. We must trust Him. In trusting, we eventually see that He is using the pressures, the trials, the difficulties to bring us to the new degree of spiritual beauty. What a beautiful contrast that sometimes we think that we are in the dirt. We are in the world where we're so much hatred and so much separation or antagonism with one another. But God knows exactly where He put us. Amen. He might be ugly, but you know what? God said that that's where you grow better, on this ugly world that you live in. Amen? Because God is our good gardener. The beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. The true contentment comes when we accept what God is doing and thank Him for it. Amen. And sometimes, you know, when we pray, when we went in the trials and circumstances is not too good, you know, we pray, "God, take me out from here." But you know what? God says, "You know what? I know exactly where you are. Trust me. I know what I'm doing." Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. To be faithful, because He knows what is doing. Amen. So this morning, is your faith casual or committed? As we approach this week where our Jesus suffered incredibly for us, in a week where our sins, past, present, and future, were that will be nailed and that hang Him on that cross, doesn't Jesus deserve a second look? Does he deserve total control of our life? Does he deserve a personal relationship with you? Amen? So that's if we can give Jesus Christ everything that we have. Amen? And say, you know what, God, Lord, Holy Spirit, take control of my life. And you know what? We can, I need you, we have this power that we can offer our friend, because they have no choice. The only choice that we have is life. Even though they give death or life, but you know what? God says, choose life. And trust me, what I'm doing is for your good. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Shall we all stand? Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the lesson that we learned this morning about the Palm Sunday. And Lord, help us, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that when we are weak, you make us strong, Father God. And Father, help us, Lord, build our unbelief, Lord God. Lord, that when we believe you, Lord, that you will never leave us but forsake us, Lord. But Father, your purpose, Lord, in our life is to be thoroughly perfect in all good works. And Father, we thank you this morning. And Lord, as we bring our hands and offer to you, Father, we pray that you will multiply that body, God, 100-fold. Father, we thank you. Thank you that we can put our trust on the Lord. And our calendar, Lord. Our packet, Lord. Our wallet, Father. Lord, we thank you. Thank you this morning, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, it's a joy, Father, to come into your presence, Lord.